If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 16 tonight. And there ought to be a light-colored Bible study sheet somewhere there. It'll maybe help you not have to write down references, but maybe fill in some blanks. And tonight's subject is debt causers. Debt causers. Everyone has to deal sooner or later with their relationship with finances, with money, with wealth. I believe it was Billy Graham that said many, many years ago, no one will ever get anything right in their life until they get their relationship with money right. Kind of an interesting statement. Notice what Jesus says here in Luke 16. Someone says, well, Pastor, I don't have any money problems because I don't have any money. No, that's your problem. And so look down here, please. Luke 16. And notice Jesus is speaking. Notice how firm this statement is. Luke 16 and verse number 13. And he says, no man can serve two masters. Then Jesus' day, you have to realize there was a lot of indentured slaves. So what that meant was there was a lot of slavery. Perhaps up to one-third of the people that lived in Israel were slaves at this time. Rome ruled the world, and also at this time, if someone got so far in debt where they could not pay their debts, they could sell themselves as a slave and actually work for 7 years till they were released. My parents would have sold me a long time ago, and so I'm glad we don't have that. But he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now notice, when Jesus uses the word cannot, he uses it just a few times in Scripture. Except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of heaven. But notice what he says. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now what in the world does that word mammon mean? When I was a kid, we had just studied the dinosaurs. So I said, well, I know what that is. You know, that's those big elephants with the long tusks, those woolly mammons. I remember them. No, mammoth, I think it is. And so I thought it was some dinosaur. You either serve God or you serve those big dinosaurs. But the word mammon actually means that in which one trusts. That in which one trusts. So sometimes it can be things. It can be power. It can be possessions. But this term leans more toward riches. He says, we'll either ultimately serve the Lord, he'll be the number one thing in our life, or it'll be riches and what they produce. He says, sooner or later, you're going to have to choose one over the other. You cannot serve both. That's what he's saying. And so what an admonition here. It's interesting. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon, the wise man, when asked by God, or when God says, what wish do you want? What would you like me to give you in a dream? And before he could think very long, he said, I want wisdom. And God told him, many of you know this, he said, because you've asked wisdom instead of riches or long life or the lives of your enemies, I'm going to give you all of it. And so here's the life's verse, I think, of Solomon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and notice that's the condition. Here's the promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God, get God and things. Seek things, only get things. You say, well, things make you happy. Ask Hunter Biden how happy he is. Ask a lot of these politicians, a lot of these movie stars. They got the things, but they're miserable people. I believe we had a man in our church years ago, met Marilyn Monroe on Fisherman's Wharf. I said, how did you meet her? He said, I was a chef at one of the fancy restaurants. She tripped and fell on the parking lot, and I helped her up. So that's his claim to fame. But I read her biography where she actually paid people just to be in the room with her. After all the movie scenes were over, after her acting days and the autographs were over, she paid people just to be in the room because she was so lonely. So some people who we think have it all together and have it all, they really don't even have as much as you do. The things that count. And so notice this passage also, we're in Luke 16. So Jesus says in verse 13, you can't serve God or mammon. You'll serve one or the other. He's talking about riches. Now look down at verse 19. He keeps his same thought. He says, there was a certain rich man clothed with purple and fine linen. Later on, he says, the rich man died and went to hell. I wonder if we could look at the percentages of the number of rich people that go to hell versus the number of poor people that go to hell. It'd be quite a statistic because the Bible says the poor are rich in faith. So you could flip-flop that and probably say the rich, many, are poor in faith. Sometimes riches hinder people from coming to Christ because of a false security. They have all these things, so why do they need him? But oftentimes you hear people losing everything and at their bottom, and then they come to Christ. Amen. I don't know if I've ever met someone that just won the lottery that said, Pastor, I'm at your church. We got to get it all together. You just don't see it. But I've met many a person just got out of jail or just got through with addiction or a broken heart, or just found out they had a disease, and they come to Christ. So notice just this, what we would call the context of Scripture here. Now, with that in mind, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 9, and that's where we'll be a little bit tonight. We're going verse by verse through the book of Proverbs. We've covered some of 5, 6, 7, and 8 in recent days. So now we're in chapter 9. No, let's skip over to chapter 10. Here we go. Notice these highlights, and then we'll give you some practical thoughts tonight on debt. Chapter number 10, and the Bible says, looking down in verse number 2, if you want to highlight it, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Notice he talks about treasures of wickedness or money earned in wicked ways, wicked or dirty money, if you will. Verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. So he's talking about the boy when summertime's out, when it's nice and warm, good play weather. He's saying the one that works is the one that's going to make his daddy proud. And so he's talking about he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. So now he's talking about the timeliness of the work ethic. There's a time to work hard. And by the way, that time is when you're young. That time is when you're young. When we're young, we want to play a lot. But that's the time to get a business going, to get a little money in the bank, to learn some skills. When you're 70, you don't usually learn a lot of new skills. You know, man, I'm going to learn Spanish. How old are you? I'm in my 80s. I doubt you do. And it's why you're young. You can think quicker. These kids, remember, you ever been around any of our church kids and hear them quote scriptures? And then some of us in our 60s, you know, hey, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever shall call upon and weep not. What? Man, we can't even get John 3:16 down. We mix up verses. These kids have it down. Why? They're good memorizers. They've got a young mind and a strong body. Amen. So he's talking about a work ethic, treasures, work ethic. Then skip down to verse 22. What a great verse here. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. If you're blessed by God, you are rich spiritually, emotionally, and probably even blessed financially. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. So there are two types of riches mentioned in Scripture. There are riches with blessing, and then there are riches with sorrow. Okay, let's talk about the Kennedy family for a moment. Joseph Kennedy, who sold us out during World War II, very disloyal to our country. He was America's ambassador there in England. Churchill knew him. Read the story sometime. But Joseph Kennedy, during the Depression, when it was not the Depression, but Prohibition, when our country had outlawed liquor, it was illegal to make it. It was illegal to sell it. And somehow Joseph Kennedy got in on the inside scene and he bootlegged it. He produced it illegally, sold it illegally. And when the bars opened up, when they repealed prohibition, he filled every bar with all of his liquor and made his millions. Check out his children, how happy they were. Check out the broken marriages. Check out the sudden deaths. Check out, I mean, their whole life. I've got a book in my house. It's called The Kennedy Curse. And it just talks about, I mean, they had all this wealth, so the rules never applied to them there in their compound. When people came over, the police couldn't come and bother them. Whatever party they threw, whatever happened, you don't mess with the Kennedys. And then it was assassination, plane crash, skiing accident. John Kennedy Jr. flew that plane upside down, died. I mean, it's been tragedy after tragedy. Riches with sorrows. Some of these sports stars, these NFL stars, you know, they're retiring at age 30. They're bored. They've done, spent everything, got everything, been everywhere. They have no new things to look forward to. Better to have little and something to look forward to and contentment in your family than to have a lot and be fighting and feuding all the time. And so riches with sorrows, and then we can have riches with God's blessings. Let's notice just a little bit about what Solomon says about riches here. Look over here, if you will. We're just going to quickly and very quickly give you the 11 debt causers. These are debt causers to avoid. And here we are. And many of you could probably testify and say, I've been there, I've done that. But Proverbs 6, if you will. Proverbs 6, we talked about it last week. We'll read one verse, and that's co-signing. Number one, co-signing. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. He's saying what happens, making surety means this. You are making sure the debt will be paid. Anytime you ever co-sign for anybody, you were saying, if they never make one payment, I am happy to make every payment until this item is paid off. That's what co-signing is. You're making sure the loan will be paid for. Never wise. Never wise. It strains relationships. And then it puts you in debt if they don't pay. And they skip out, and now here you are, paying for something you don't even own. Never wise, not wise for your kids. Not wise. You say, well, they need to establish credit. Let them establish their credit. Let them walk to the laundromat if they have to and use those coins so they can save up for a washer and a dryer. You just want to help out with that. Number two, too much sleep. Chapter 6, verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one as a man that travaileth. Verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Oft times it's those that sleep too much that are in debt. And I'm not talking about if you're in your 90s and you need more sleep. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone in the prime of health that just sleeps a lot. And we're not talking about someone who's got some medical issues. I don't know how many times the church has been called. When people drive by, somehow they cannot spell good. People in California can't spell good. The word church is spelled C-H-U-R-C-H, not B-A-N-K. I don't know how many times people just dropped in, hey. And it's this, always this sob story. Their mother has just died. They just found out. She's in Oklahoma. They need a bus ticket. The bus leaves in an hour, and they need bus money. It's $150, and we're our last resort, and all their relatives used to come here, though I don't recognize any of their names. And it's this sob story, and they've got every word down right because they've used it so much. They've been to that church, they're here, and then it's going to be that church. And they hit a few churches up, $100, and they made $1,000 in a day. Sometimes people will call and say, we're needing groceries. And I'll send someone by. It'll be 2:00 PM. They're all still in bed. They're all still in bed. And the grass is this high. And there's stuff all in the yard. And there's beer cans. And they got a satellite dish with TV shows that come from outer space. They're still in bed. You lose a job, you pray all night, and you put in applications all day. You have to be diligent. Young men, when you apply for a job, someone wants to hire you. You just show up, you stand up, hold your head up high with confidence, just walk in the business, say, I'd like to talk to the manager. And when he comes out, say, what do you need? Man, I'd like a job. I don't work Sundays, but I'll be a hard worker. I'll be here early. I'll stay late. Wow, that's a rare thing. You know, used to, you had to have job skills to get a job. Now, if you test drug-free most of the time, you can get a job. It's just, I mean, the standard has been lowered. So, number one, co-signing. Number two, too much sleep. Number three, laziness. Chapter 10, if you will, please. Chapter 10. And let me encourage you, some of you, not some of us, but some of you sometimes, you're too much of a pushover. When people walk up like this because they need a quick rescue financially, you don't have to give it to them. There's always someone, you know, I'm kind of behind on this, or I need that. So what happened? Well, I spent it all on this. So how come you didn't budget? See, you don't always rescue people. Well, we're kind of behind on rent. How many times have you been behind on rent? Well, you know, a whole lot. Now, it's no special. And so sometimes it's just laziness. Look at this. Chapter number 10, verse number 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Old story, I'll tell it quickly. With a guy in the youth group years ago named Ty. He was 18, wanted to go to Bible college. And his mom worked on the staff here. Sweet kid. And all of a sudden, you know, he had this dream. He was going to start his own business. That's probably not best. An 18-year-old going to start his own business. No business experience. I said, what are you going to do, Ty? He said, landscaping company. I said, Ty, look, there's landscaping companies all over this town. I said, do you have any equipment? He said, I got a weed eater. I said, what are you going to do? Just weed eat everybody's yard? He said, my dad said, I can borrow his truck. I said, all right, now you got an old beat up Beverly Hillbilly truck and you got a weed eater and we have a lawnmower. I said, all right. I said, son, get on to McDonald's, save your money, go to Bible college. No, I'm going to start my own business. I said, Ty, it's not going to work. And so next thing I know, I call him on the phone. He's got a home landline at that time. And here's what it said. Answer machine. Hello, this is Help Yard Service. We are out of the office right now. We, it's just him. And there is no office. It's just the answer machine on the kitchen table. We are out of the office right now. One of our representatives, what do you mean, one of your representatives, will return your call soon and we'll give you a free estimate. The kid would drive around town in neighborhoods. Any yard that needed mowing, he'd knock on their door and say, I'm with Help Yard Service. We can give you a free estimate right now. Looks like you need your yard mown. I can get all the leaves out of your gutter. Be glad to weed eat, trim these bushes, and give you an estimate. I can do it today. The kid was making $1,000 a week. $1,000 a week, no taxes taken out. And this was 30 years ago. Who knows what kind of money that was then. His daddy worked at Mare Island, and he said, my son makes more than I do. And he headed out to Bible college. He was diligent. Amen. While others were playing, Ty was working. He'd get up before the sun came up. He'd get home when the sun came down. He learned the work ethic. I told his daddy, I said, you ought to be proud of him. You've not raised just a boy. You've raised a young man, and he's learned to work. Work turns a boy into a man. Amen. And he enjoyed it. He didn't have time to get in trouble. You know what he did for fun? He slept. He'd come home, eat supper, and fall in that bed, get up early. That's what he did. Laziness will cause poverty. Number next, look over in 11:24, please. 11:24. And the Bible says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. What's he talking about? The word is stinginess. Stinginess. He's saying we are not supposed to spend everything on us. Young people, if your parents give you an allowance or you earn some money, it should never all be on you. Well, first thing you do, you tithe off of it, the first 10%. And probably you ought to save some of it. For what? Well, does your mom or dad have a birthday this year? Does mom or dad have Christmas this year? Do you have any siblings who might have a birthday this year? Will there be a missionary come through town that you might want to slip them a little money this year? Is there something you want to save up for this year? So you don't just spend it all on you. Finances as you're young is training you to deal with finances when you're older. When you can't handle them when you're young, seems like that kind of trails us all throughout life. So stinginess, you want to be a person that has an open hand. And then number next, in chapter 13 and verse 18. I wish I'd have heard all this when I was young. 13:18 of Proverbs. The Bible says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Refuseth instruction. And so that's number five, refusing instruction. I just finished another biography of D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody. I think I've got 8 biographies of him. One of the highlights they said of his life, and he was a great businessman. He sold more shoes than anyone in Boston in that store. And they said about him, they said, he is always learning. Whatever job he has, he is learning from others. He's asking questions. He's getting good. He's not a know-it-all. Young people, if you want to climb to the top of a business, you want to be someone that's asking questions and learning, not stepping in knowing everything that there is. Ask questions. And how do you do this? And what's that drill bit used for? And how come this? And what's this plug into it? And how's that happen? And why do you do this? You just ought to be filled with questions. That's who they're going to promote. What else? We had a neighbor years ago back on the laziness. His name was Terry. And he lived in Baton Rouge. And his parents passed away, and he was about 18 or 19, so he inherited their house. And it was about 2 doors down from us on St. Jared Street. And I remember he was just, you know, the yard was never mown. I don't know if he was on drugs or what was going on in his life, but you'd always see him kind of hang with shady characters. One day I see him, I said, Terry, I hadn't seen you in a while. He said, I don't live in that house anymore. He inherited the house. He didn't check the mail for about 2 years. So he didn't pay the house taxes. He lost the house. They sold it at auction. Because he was so lazy, he didn't even check the mail or check the bills. I was in jury duty this week. You know, no one wants to serve in jury duty. I mean, no one wants to. And they said, anyone, it's a hardship. You can't do this. Tell us. One guy says, you know, man, I didn't know it was this week. And you know, I got plans. And the judge looked at him and said, when did you get the notice in the mail? Well, about 3 weeks ago. But I didn't look at it till this morning. Diligent. What else? Here's another one quickly. Look over here, please, to 21:17. 21:17. And we'll give you something real, real practical, so hang on if this is just all review. 21:17. He that loveth pleasure, 21:17, shall be a poor man. And he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. What's he talking about? He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. We all love pleasure. Nothing's wrong with play. But here's a reason for debt, too much play. It ought to be, play is a release of all the hard work. Play is an option. But when we live with that bumper sticker on our car and we believe it, live for the weekend, something's wrong with us. We have got to learn how to make work play. Someone said, if you enjoy your work, you never have to go to work a day in your life. Now, if you hate your work, train for a job that you enjoy doing. Young people, that's why it's so important. If you're not called to ministry, you pick a vocation that you think, man, I would love doing this the rest of my life. Pick something you're good at, you enjoy doing, and you enjoy getting up and heading there. You're excited about it. You just don't want to dread going to work the rest of your life. Amen. What else here? Here's another one. Number 7, addictions. Addictions, 23:21. 23:21, I'm sure all of us could probably think of someone because of alcohol. They had a loss of money. I heard from a either an officer or a lawyer several months back. The average DUI costs someone in California $35,000. Maybe it's more than that now, counting the fines, the fees for the schooling, the lawyer fees, bailing out of jail, and all the rest. $35,000 because of addictions. And then I wonder what drug court costs and drug place. It's expensive, these addictions. Maybe it's gambling. It's an addiction. I forget who. No, I do remember who it was. I think it was $26,000 they lost someone that used to be here. And that was in Las Vegas. They had to go to Las Vegas, lost it all. We used to have a man attended here, gambled at the horse races over there, heading close to Oakland. In fact, he used to open up his trunk and take people's money before they betted and came into the horse race place. And so soon they put his posters up all around the horse race place, banned him from being in there. Addictions. Notice what it says here in chapter 23, verse 21. It says, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." That's why we're trying to help people Friday nights, Sunday mornings, trying to help them get back on their feet and get victory over these addictions so they can have a life. So they can have a life and hold their head up high and be proud of who God made them. What else here? The wrong crowd. Chapter 28. Here we are. Chapter 28. Looking down in verse number 19. The wrong crowd. Just hanging with the wrong crowd. It says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." So someone's running with the wrong crowd, someone shoplifts, and they all get charged. So there it is, wrong crowd. Someone's running with the gang, someone is shot, they all go to jail. Accessory. Just so many of the... And young people, let me encourage you. You better pick your crowd wisely. They can sure get you in a lot of trouble that you didn't start. But let's find out. Let's just kind of get a little feedback here. What is the dumbest thing you would say you have ever purchased? Anybody want to share? It's like, "I cannot believe I bought this. What a waste of money," or "How dumb," or "I got taken." One of the dumbest things you've ever bought. Anybody in this section over here? You don't have to. You don't have to. And please don't say the car that so-and-so sold me. Don't say that. Okay? All right. Right here. Wanda? Oh, you bought it brand new. You made payments or you paid cash? Huh? Couldn't. But you had a brand new car for a while, right? And then you had to turn it over. No payments. Alec, what was it? $209 shoes. That's what I pay for my used ones. No, I'm just kidding. You need some $208 shoes. Anybody else in the middle section? Anybody? You don't have to. Okay, Kathleen? Oh. How old was your first child?
Like newborn.
Newborn. And they bought encyclopedias for him. Her. Her. And I've seen those guys, because it's, "Hey, this deal is right now, and we're not doing it. It's now or never." Yeah, I remember that. Anybody in this section? I mean, like, "I cannot believe I bought this." We could probably, John? Kirby vacuum cleaner. Who's ever bought a Kirby? We have. Guess what? It shampoos. It washes your car. It'll wash your dog. It'll babysit your kids. It'll homeschool your kids. I mean, it's just amazing. Arden, what was it? Oh, you subscribed to some magazines. A bunch of them. I bet you did. I bet I know which one, too. It's probably the Rolling Stone or something like that. And here's another one here. Look at this. Chapter 28, verse 22. And I'm hurrying here. Chapter 28 and verse number 22. Look at this one. All right, 28, 22. And it says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." What's it saying? Get rich quick schemes. You want to always avoid those. Anything that sounds free or easy money, it's a scam. Why would they be offering it to you? We get the faxes at the church all the time. Dear Pastor Ray, one of your rich uncles who you never met. I mean, here it goes. And I'm looking, how many millions? $91 million. Oh, please contact us. We need your these numbers from you. And please, it is 100, they have to print it, 100% legal. This is not a scam. I'm glad they tell you that. Get rich quick schemes. Let me just bring it to home a little bit. That would be playing the lottery. Scratch cards. Lotto, $260 million. Do you remember when they told us it's to help California education? Most of it helps educate. I bet the school district doesn't get 1% of what comes in from all the lottery. I can't read any better because of it. Lotto. Las Vegas. Ching, 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 ching. You know, it's amazing. Two of my daughters were flying somewhere and they had a layover in Las Vegas and they're going to take a picture in front of a slot machine. Look where, and the guard, excuse me, you're a minor. You cannot be around a slot machine. Are you kidding? Get rich quick. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I see people in 7-Elevens. They look like they don't have anything. They're buying scratch cards. And I don't know what they cost, do we? What are they, about $10 each? I don't know. And they're scratching them. I mean, you know, you can get two hot dogs and a big soda for about $3 at 7-Eleven. But scratch card, I didn't win again. I wonder how much money, and I'm sure it's on, you know, you could Google it, how much the average American spends just on those cards, hoping they'll strike it rich. You have about the same chance of getting striked or struck by lightning as you do to win the lottery. It's not going to happen. Maybe our Father up in heaven says, I'd rather you work for it so you can appreciate it. It's funny, you know what comes in the offering plate? We've had Scandia tokens. Seriously, put in the offering plate. You know, hey, I had a few left over. Thanks for the leftovers. That's, Jesus wants the leftovers. We've had scratch cards where someone won $5 and just dropped it in the plate for their offering. God would rather us work for it than get it fast. Fast, quick money is never appreciated and oft times spent foolishly. How many times have people at church told me, Pastor, just pray I win the lottery. You know, $400 million. If I win it, I'll give the church $1 million. I said, I ain't praying for you. You're not even tithing. Get rich quick schemes. Number 10, quickly, immorality. And there's three chapters, 5, 6, 7 deal with that. So here's someone. They cheat on their mate. The mate finds out, not happy about it. Divorce takes place. There's $50,000 divorce fees. Then I want half the house, and I want to garnish your wages, and I want child support, and I want half of your Social Security. Now it's up to over $1 million. And what caused all that financial pressure? Immorality. It's wise financially to stay pure and stay faithful to your mate. What else? Not tithing. Chapter 3 in Malachi, talking about God would pour out his blessings and we'd be cursed if we're not tithing. Now, let me just fill you in some blanks, just some practical lessons here. We got a lot of these. Here we go. Here's what the wife likes. If you're married, or even if you're not, here's probably what your mother liked. The wife likes financial security. Financial security. What's that mean? If something happens to the husband, she wants to know, what am I supposed to do? Where's the papers? Is there life insurance? Is there a living trust? Where's the checkbook? Where's the bank cards? Where's the information on your retirement? Who do we pay the house payment to? Who do we pay the bills to? How do I get money out of the bank? Do you have burial insurance? They just want security. They just want to know all that. And let me encourage you families, if y'all have never had that talk yet, it may sound morbid, but you probably just need to have that talk and say, okay, so if something ever happened, where's this? Where's this? Where's this? Where's this? I've even written out how I want my funeral. Pallbearers. Did you hear about that lady? Never had a date her whole life. Never had a date. Finally died. In the will it says, I only want women pallbearers. She said, you men never took me out when I was alive, and you're sure not taking me out when I'm dead. And so anyway, I heard about that. So I've got all the details. What I want sung, what I want on the tombstone. What you just don't want people to have to deal with that when you've already said, here's how I want it done. Just a thought. I know, okay. It's in that book I wrote that you didn't buy on Christian funerals. But the wife likes financial security. She wants to know where important papers are, life insurance, living trust, and then predetermined allowance. She likes that too. Now, if you're just getting started, here's what I did, Brother Dewey. Maybe you can take notes. It'll help you and Miss Brown out. But when my wife and I first got married, instead of her coming to me every time she needed money and saying, I need $5 for hose, or we need $3 for toothpaste, or I need $25 for groceries. You know, I didn't want her having to come all the time, and every time I looked around, she's wanting money. I said, sit down, make a budget. How much do you spend on hose, hairspray, grocery? How much do you need every week to get all those things? And it was 42 years ago. She said, $20. It's pretty good, huh? I mean, we ate a lot of beans and rice. And she said, I could get by on $20 a week. That would be my budget. I said, okay, you got it. I said, I promise from here forward, I will give you $20 every week. So I'd get paid. I'd give her that 20 cash. So if she cut coupons and saved a little money, she didn't have to borrow money and say, your birthday's coming up. Can I have some money to spend on you? You know, that sounds weird, you know. I want to give some, you know, I'd like to spoil myself and go out to eat. Can I have some money? And so that way, whatever she saved was her money, you know, and I never borrowed it back. And you'll be shocked. 42 years have passed. I've kept my promise. I still give her $20 every week. And she is just so happy and content with that. Money can bring heartache. I hear several characters. If you want to study them on your own, you can. Achan. Of course, he took the gold and silver. His family died because of it. Lot, he left the will of God, left a strong influence on his life. Abraham, he went to the bottom. There's Demas that left Paul. He loved the present world. And instead of being the next Timothy, he became a casualty. Then we have Judas that sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Next statement here is we are rich compared to third world countries. So about the time we think, well, man, we don't have anything. I just got an iPhone 11. I'm so poor. Yeah. Or I've just got the new Kaepernick shoes or the new the new Tom Brady shoes. You know, that's all I have. We were in Africa, and they had a big pot of what they call mealy meal. It looked like grits or oatmeal. And I remember they were stirring it. They had just got ready to kill a goat in our honor. The Americans are here. They handed me the knife. They said, you're the leader. You get to slit the goat's throat. I said, do what? They said, yeah, we'll cook it up. We have another pot. I handed the knife to Mike Plowman. I said, Mike, you get to slit the goat's throat. He goes, why me? I said, because I ain't doing it. And so we went preaching somewhere, came back. The goat was gone. He was in the pot. All the meat was in one pot. All the rest of the goat was in the other pot. I mean, all the rest of the goat except the fur. They ate it all. And they were stirring that mealy meal. A little girl came up and she says, Mister, what do you eat in your country? She said, we get mealy meal 3 times a day. Sometimes we even have cabbage in it. We get mealy meal 3 times a day. I looked at her. I felt just so ashamed thinking of our fast food restaurants. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, God's blessed our country. And steaks and fajitas and Mexican food and Chinese food. Mealy meal 3 times a day. I said, you don't even want to know, little girl, what we eat in our country. We're rich. The poorest of the poor that attends our church is richer than the richest of the rich in some of the countries. But they're rich in their hearts because they have Jesus Christ. And they're content with what they have. Let's finish the blanks and we'll call it a night. What do you think? We're rich, if richer than some third world countries. Ways to cut the budget. Now here's a little saying, it's at the bottom. If your income does not exceed your outgo, then you've got to either decrease your outgo or increase your income. It does not get better. If you're spending more than you take in, you got to do something. You got to cut what you're spending or you got to bring in more money. You got to do one or the other. You just can't, well, I'm just going to pray. No, you might have to get a second job. Or you might have to go up and get a better job. Or you might have to put in a little overtime. Or the wife might have to do some childcare one day a week. There's some creative things that you can do. But just sitting in the corner praying it gets better, it doesn't. Sometimes God gives you wisdom of what you're supposed to do. So what are some ways to at least cut the budget? One, walk more. With the gas, as high as it is, it might be good. I was bragging the other day. I'm working out a little bit. And I told one of our people that came to our house, we're fellowship, and I said, hey, 11,000 steps yesterday for me, 11,000. He said, that's good. And I could tell he wasn't impressed. I said, I'm up early, and I've been hiking and training. He said, I'm up at 3. I'm at the gym at 3:15. I do 26,000 steps a day. I went, brother. So I asked him not to come back to our church. Walk more. Number 2, eat healthy. I'm not the health nut. I'm not Jack LaLanne. But I know this, you eat healthy, you're sick less. You have less doctor's bills. Number 3, less junk food. You ever notice the junk tastes better sometimes than the good stuff? Ice cream always tastes better than a broccoli. So what do? You put ice cream on top of the broccoli. You kind of balance it out. Number 4, out to eat less again. Never feel guilty. If you've got extra money, you're going to go out and have a nice meal somewhere. Nothing is wrong with that. But if you're eating out every night and it's costing $30 every night, that's $210 in a week. That's $840 in a month. I love Starbucks. People give me gift cards. Usually that's what I'll use when I go to a Starbucks. But the average nice Frappuccino drink is about $5. Oft times we'll take teenagers' plate. Nothing's wrong with a teenager getting one of those. But sometimes you see them coming into church every Sunday with one, that's $5. And then after church, another one. And then during lunch break every day. So if you're drinking one of those a day, it's $35 a week. Nothing's wrong with that if that's what you're going to do. That's $140 a month. That's a car payment on a used car. So sometimes people just don't add all that stuff up. It just starts going out the window, these things. What else? Number 5, stop using credit cards and not paying them off at the end of the month. If you're a little older and you've got a credit card, if you'll pay it off, nothing's wrong with that. But when you start getting behind, now you're paying interest only. Now you're paying late fees. Now you're paying payment and interest. It's not being a good steward. Some of us need to have plastic surgery. We need to lay our credit cards at the altar and cut them up. Plastic surgery. Number 6, and I know many of you use them for business, you use them for convenience, you have to have one to check into a motel, travel, and I understand that. Number 6, sleep on it before making a major purchase. You're going to buy that new car, that new toy, whatever it is, and man, you just really want it. You're always wise to say, give me a night to think about it. Because sometimes that magic of the moment, you sleep on it, and you say, you know, man, I could... How many of you know what I'm talking about? Who's ever made a high-pressure purchase? I have. A car? Boat? Told you about my boat, sat under my garage for a year. Never had money. John, I never had money for a motor. But it looked good. I had that boat. It was a bass boat. It looked so good. I took pictures of it. Number seven, quickly. Have a great walk with the Lord. Why? He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You walk with him, and soon he starts just giving you some things. It's like, I can't believe this. All I know is this. When my kids were young, if they went somewhere with me, they usually got something. If they just hung with dad, wherever I went, I bought them something. We went out to eat. They usually got something just by hanging around me. And our Heavenly Father says, man, you're just kind of always around me. Let me give you something. And that's what he does. What else? We give you the rest of the... We have to hurry. Number eight. There are three parts to finances. There's work, giving, and managing. There's work, giving, and managing. So here it is. Okay, there's work, hard work, diligent work. Then we receive from that work, then we're giving. Who do we give to? We give our tithes. Hopefully we have some to give to missions. Then we give to the poor. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. And he didn't talk about people who've made their own poverty. There are some people that are just poor. They're poor. They're in hard times that they didn't cause. They're in third world countries and so forth. And then there's managing. That's budgeting. That's avoiding high pressure sales. That's getting the best buy. That's shopping around. And then last, notice here. Pay bills on time. Oh, I just found this bill. Oh, it's $30 late payment. You want to pay them on time. My wife's dad's got a lot of practical common sense. He said, honey, that car runs just as good on a quarter of a tank as it does a full tank. And you just don't want to be running out of gas on your finances. These days, God's looking for someone that's trying to be wise. Sometimes it's easier to stretch what you have than it is to bring in more. And sometimes God will bring in more if we're trying to stretch out what we have. And I hope that some of these things will be a help to you.